Hey everyone, it's pianist and From the Top host Peter Dugan here, and thanks for joining me for this week's program. We're going to meet some fantastic young people as usual on the show, and speaking of brilliant young people, check out this message from our friends at the Genius Generation podcast.
Have you ever wondered what it would feel like to change the world? You know, invent something, solve a problem impacting your community, or start a successful business.
I created an algorithm to detect Parkinson's disease.
There's hundreds of millions of users relying on me to give them accurate information.
It really took a while for me to really understand the issue of plastic pollution, and one day it just sort of clicked in my head.
Accomplishing something big like that might seem out of reach, or at the very least, a long way off. But guess what? It doesn't have to be. I'm Danny Washington, and this season on The Genius Generation, I'm talking to young people who are changing our world in big ways.
I'm Anisha Musti. I am a 15-year-old.
I am 18 years old.
I was 14 years old.
I believe I was 12.
No matter what people say, if you're too young to do it, there's no such thing.
Amen to that. Join me every Thursday for new episodes right here or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every From the Top show features amazing music. That's just what our young artists bring us every week. But I'm particularly excited about the repertoire on this program because we're going to hear two pieces by Schumann that explore the opposite ends of his personalities. First, we have Angeline Kyong, a young cellist who rips into the fiery third movement of the fantasy pieces. And then later in the show, we hear William Ju, this young oboist who plays the sublime Adagio from the Adagio and Allegro. You're going to enjoy both of those performances and all the music on this show. If you like what you hear today, remember that From the Top is a small, independent nonprofit, so please consider making a contribution to our efforts at fromthetop.org. Thanks, everyone, and enjoy the program.
From NPR.
It's From the Top.
Celebrating the power of music.
In the hands of America's kids.
Here's our host, pianist Peter Dugan.
Thank you, Joanne. Get ready to go to Los Angeles, everybody. We recorded this program on stage in Zipper Hall on the campus of the Colburn School in downtown LA. And it's a show that features all students from California who study at that institution. For those that may not know it, the Colburn School is one of America's great centers for the study of music and dance, with programs for the community, an academy that provides intensive pre-collegiate music training, and a conservatory. And From the Top has featured scores of incredible Colburn students over the years, but today is an extra special celebration of the great music that happens there. A big thank you to Arthur M. Wynn and family for their generous gift sponsoring today's program. We'll start things off with a powerhouse cellist from Fremont, California. This is 16-year-old Angeline Kyong performing the third of Robert Schumann's fantasy pieces, I'm at the Piano.
Thank you.
16-year-old cellist Angeline Kiang from Fremont, California, performed the third of Robert Schumann's fantasy pieces along with me, Peter Dugan, at the piano. Angeline, I have to say, that piece felt really fresh just now. I might almost say minty fresh. Can you explain what that minty freshness might be?
It might come from me brushing my teeth right before performing.
This is like something you have to do before every performance, right?
Yes, it has become a pre-concert ritual over the years. Sometimes when I play with other friends, they see me in the bathroom before the concert brushing my teeth. So Colgate, please sponsor me.
Yes. Well, you not only prepared your teeth well for today, you were also extremely prepared to play with the piano part. I mean, have you had many opportunities to rehearse with the pianist during this pandemic?
I've mostly been working with AI pianists recently, but they don't really listen to me when I play.
Artificial intelligence pianists. Now, this is like a robotic piano that's designed to follow you?
They are designed to follow me, but I end up following them most of the time.
But still, you've been able to learn from that experience?
Yes, playing with the AI pianist also has allowed me to learn more about the score and dive into the details of what the composer wrote.
So you rehearse successfully with an AI pianist. Ask me how that makes me feel.
How does that make you feel? Do you feel better now?
Not really, but let's move on. Let's talk about escape, sort of leaving the troubles of the world behind. It's, of course, one of the things that folks love about music, listening to music, right, is that you can kind of go to another place. But I know that you actually had a moment when you were performing music and you were able to kind of enter this alternate reality. Would you tell that story?
Yes. My first time playing with orchestra, and I was playing the Schumann cello concerto. During the second movement, I was, for some reason, especially nervous. And I was able to close my eyes and kind of envision myself at a peaceful lake with mountains in the distance, at like very night view. And playing the second movement with the cello duet, envisioning that really calmed me down and helped me bring out the poetry of his music.
Yeah, and I think when you go to that place, the audience feels it, you know, and we sense that you're somewhere totally serene, and then that brings us there right along with you. Just beautiful.
Thank you.
Angeline Kiang, 16, from Fremont, California.
If you subscribe to From the Top's podcast, you can download whatever episodes you want and listen on demand. They're available at fromthetop.org. For the last 15 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded over $3 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more. Peter.
It's a rare thing for a from-the-top pianist to perform the extremely complex and intricate music that makes up the Shostakovich Preludes and Fugues, but the 15-year-old pianist Lindsay Yang from Arcadia, California, makes that sophisticated music her own in a very confident way. She and I sat down together right before she let it rip. Lindsay, I've been so looking forward to hearing you play this Prelude and Fugue live and in person, not over Zoom. What a privilege to just be able to sit back and enjoy what you're about to do. First of all, tell everybody what Prelude and Fugue this is.
This is Shostakovich Prelude and Fugue, Opus 87, number 15, in D-flat major.
You know, when we think about preludes and fugues, it's so easy to just put them in this abstract kind of realm. But I love the way you describe this piece, which is really quite beautiful and simple and almost poetic. What comes to mind? What imagery do you have when you play this piece?
Yeah, so whenever I play this piece, I mean, I try to imagine a lot of different things whenever I'm playing it, but generally I kind of like think of it as like a winter setting, a little bit of snow, and just like people in a town just coming together and dancing together, having like a small little festival by themselves.
Mm. I know it's hard not to hear a little snippet of We Wish You a Merry Christmas in the opening theme.
Yeah.
Great. Well, I can't wait to be transported to this snowy little village. Whenever you're ready, take it from the top. Thank you. Prelude and Fugue in D-flat major, Opus 87, number 15, by Dmitri Shostakovich, performed by 15-year-old Lindsay Yang from Arcadia, California. That performance was stunning and a real study in contrasts. I love all the delicate sounds, all of the crashing sounds, the artistry of it, but also the sort of precision of it. You really brought every element together in that performance. It's just great.
Okay, thank you.
Do you have a preference as to whether you're playing for an anonymous crowd of complete strangers mm-hmm. or playing for a crowd where your friends and your peers are in the audience, like maybe is the case here at Colburn?
Yeah, so in general, I mean, especially in the past, I much like preferred playing in front of people I didn't know because I mean, like in front of friends or peers, I never really showed my side of like this artistic musical side of me.
Right.
But like, I think, I mean, of course now it's a little more easier for me. I mean, they've seen my, you know, pianistic side of me, but I mean, before I used to really not like it when my friends would come because I don't know. I kind of had a harder time with showing, like, you know, jumping up and down, like, while I was playing the piece, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
But now I hope you realize that that's something to be proud of, mm-hmm. you know, and to be able to show off that side of yourself. Mm-hmm. Lindsay, obviously, live mm-hmm. performances haven't been possible for the past year or so, but you mentioned that you've been hugely grateful to be studying here at the Colburn School during this time. Why is that?
Yeah, so, I mean, there are definitely a lot of different reasons. I mean, among that, there are lessons, chamber music, coachings, and the Friday night recitals. Mm. We've been doing them on Zoom, so everyone just kind of logs on. We do a quick sound check, and, you know, we just play through. It's a really good time for me to look at what other people have been doing, and, like, it's kind of like all ages, like everyone can, you know, play their pieces. I really like listening to other people. And then, I mean, I'm sure I hope that they also like listening to what I play. So,
well, I certainly loved getting to be in the audience today, even though it was just me and a couple of the others of us from the top. It was just such a treat to hear you play.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lindsay. Lindsay Yang, 15 years old from Arcadia, California. This is pianist Peter Dugan, and if you're just joining us, today's program features the remarkable students of the Colburn School in Los Angeles, a conservatory and prep program that attracts fantastic young people who want to train with its renowned faculty. From the Top actually learned about Colburn student and violinist Kevin Mura years ago, and he first performed with us at the age of 12. Now, at 18, Kevin's artistry has deepened beautifully. I had the great pleasure of performing Fritz Kreisler's Liebesfreud with him.
Fritz Kreisler's Liebesfreud, performed by Kevin Mura, 18 years old, from Irvine, California. Peter Dugan here, and I was at the piano. You know, this piece, Kevin, as you know, is Love's Joy, and I felt the love in that performance, and I felt the joy. You brought both in spades. What a great time I just had. Much fun.
It was absolutely fantastic, and I really felt the energy with you the whole time. It was so much fun.
Now, people at From the Top have known you since you were just 12 years old. You did radio when you were that age, and also some really fantastic videos with us. And everybody on staff knew that you played a Stradivarius. But that's changed now, right?
Yes. At the moment, I'm playing a beautiful 1869 Giuseppe Rocca violin on loan from Mr. and Mrs. Peter and Sarah Mandel here in Southern California.
Can you talk to me about that instrument change? What was the Strad experience like, and now how is the Rocca experience different?
The opportunity to play on the Strad was absolutely life-changing, and I learned so much from that instrument. I've never really had any issues projecting or even playing in front of an orchestra. I was always clearly heard. Mm-hmm. Actually, when my mom would even go outside, and as she's driving home down the block, she said she could hear me even a block away. And it's not even that loud under the ear. And with the Rocca, I would say it definitely is louder under the ear, but in smaller spaces, it really fills the room in a much warmer way. And I think it's really being able to find those small nuances that make the process so exciting.
When we talk about these great violins, Strads, Roccas, you can't help but think about the history of the
Absolutely.
Great violin virtuosi, the great violin soloists. But I know that you believe now it's almost inappropriate to say something like, I want to be a soloist. What do you mean by that?
I think the idea of a soloist is more than just going out and playing in front of an orchestra. At least from my experiences of getting to solo with orchestras, I've come to really appreciate not just that one concert where you go out on stage and, you know, play a full concerto that might be 20 or 30 minutes long, but it's also that whole kind of week-long process, whether it be playing a recital for the donors, doing a few kids' concerts, but really finding a way to merge the orchestra with its community. And I think saying that the role of a soloist is just to solo seems a little bit outdated even.
I read that the non-soloist approach that you've been talking about also relates to new ways you've been thinking about the idea of listening, how you listen, the importance of listening, and talk a little bit about what's been going on there with you and some of those challenges.
Sure. I think first and foremost, listening is almost an exercise in honesty. As a performer, you have to be really honest about what you're playing, what you're hearing, and really reflecting on each individual aspect of it. For me personally, I always hear the sound or the phrase that I want to make. And recently, one of the big things I've been trying to do is finding ways to get that to translate clearly from the sound that I hear in my head to the sound that's in a room. I've always been a player that moves around a lot on stage, and I've had teachers who either want me to tone it down or use it more to channel energy, but I think a lot of that movement comes from the excess energy that I'm not able to translate into the music that I'm playing, and in many ways, it might even be a reflection of everything that I'm not able to produce in the sound of the music itself. And I think really examining each technical aspect, scientifically even, has really helped me decrease the difference between what I'm hearing in my head and the sound that I'm creating.
Do you have to actively tell yourself not to move too much?
I think when I'm really in the zone in a performance, I feel this energy that comes up from my feet, and I never really think about my motions or how I'm moving on stage, but I think it just molds and meshes together when
right.
that happens.
It's organic.
Absolutely.
Well, I really felt that today in our performance together. It felt very organic to me, and you know, it was really cool to be sharing that space with each other, both the physical space with our movements, but also that oral space with our ears and with our sound. What a treat. Thank you for being with us, Kevin.
Thank you.
Kevin Miura, 18 years old from Irvine, California.
Daily joy. Couldn't we all use a bit of daily joy in our daily routines? Well, if you sign up for From the Top's Daily Joy video series, you'll have incredibly joyful minute-long music videos delivered to you daily. Sign up at fromthetop.org and cheer up.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from Senior Helpers, providing families with personalized in-home care for seniors and those living with Alzheimer's, dementia, and Parkinson's. Committed to helping loved ones remain safe and independent at home at seniorhelpers.com. From the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, providing scholarships to high-achieving students with financial need, jkcf.org. And from the ECMC Foundation at ecmcfoundation.org.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. Up next, one of Robert Schumann's most beautiful pieces for the oboe, performed by a 16-year-old from Los Angeles. Today's show is hosted by the Colburn School in Los Angeles and is sponsored by a generous gift from Arthur M. Wynn and family. Pianist Peter Dugan, From the Top's host, is sponsored by Susan and Gerald Slavitt.
Thank you, Joanne. Charming, disarming, open, accessible, receptive, and quick to laugh. Those are adjectives that describe William Jew, the 16-year-old oboist that Joanne just mentioned. You'll see what I mean in both his music and in his interview. Let's hear him play first. He's performing the Adagio from Robert Schumann's Adagio and Allegro Opus 70 with me at the piano.
Thank you.
we heard the Adagio from Adagio and Allegro by Robert Schumann, performed by 16-year-old oboist William Jew. And I had the supreme privilege of joining William at the piano. William, you play that piece with such sensitivity to every phrase, every changing harmony, and some of those subito pianos just took my breath away. So beautiful.
Thank you so much. I really love your timing and the musical ideas.
As I've mentioned a few times on today's program, all of our featured performers this week are students at the Colburn School of Music in Los Angeles, and so they all have the privilege of studying with the world-class faculty here. But you, William, your teacher at Colburn sounds just off the charts cool. I mean, I wish I could study with him, and I don't even play the oboe. Can we talk about the great Mingjia Liu?
Yeah, so Mingjia Liu, Mr. Liu, is my teacher. He would always tell me this, I don't want you to be an oboist, which I was shocked. But he said, I want you to be an artist.
Didn't he have you cook one time?
Yes. So he told me that, oh, okay. So I want you to cook a full meal for me. I was like 11 or something. And then like,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. And then he said, okay, every single thing on the table has to be made from you.
Wow.
And it took like 1 month actually. To like just to prepare that. And he told me that, okay, I'm not doing this just like I wanted to eat it, but it's to teach you that like the sweet, like sweet and sour. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know that, oh, immediately from the color or anything. Oh, this is sweet. But like if you put too much, there's like people gonna like it. Just put a little bit. If you put too much, people don't have the intention to eat other stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a lesson in subtlety, in taste. I know that your teacher has also bought you gifts.
Yeah, it was a DJI drone. It was on my birthday. I didn't know like a teacher will give me a like gift.
Yeah, a drone too.
Yeah,
that's
like,
serious.
It's like super expensive and it's like a professional film drone.
Wow.
And then he told me that, okay, you need to use this drone as a different perspective.
Mm.
We as a human, we just like walk like with like, you know, like this kind of height. But then I want you to use drone to fly up. And see what like birds see, what the movie like movements go.
Right. And that cinematic approach to shaping a phrase can just be beautiful. Those, mm-hmm. those whether it's a fast sweep or a slow pan. Or,
yeah.
So Mr. Liu, maybe sort of changing your perspective on music, but you had an experience on your own with the oboe. It happened in your bed. And this changed your feelings about the instrument itself, I think, right?
Yes, at the first day of New Year. And it was super cold, freezing cold, San Francisco. But I still have to practice. And after I practiced a little bit, I put my oboe on the table. And my mom just like came in and saw my oboe. So she put my oboe on the bed, on my bed, and put a sheet on it so that it won't, you know, like keep it warm. When I came back...
Uh-oh.
I was so cold and I just saw the bed. I didn't jump on it. And then I just heard like, and then at that second, my mom screamed like so loud, like, ah! And I screamed too. Like, I don't know why. I just screamed too. Yeah. And then when I opened the sheet, it's just like two broken over like a chopstick. So my teacher, Mr. Liu, just like came here and he said, oh my gosh, how did it happen? But then I sent it back to RDG. And meanwhile, Mr. Liu just lent me his oboe. And for like a good 2 months, I believe. Yeah.
Wow. So your teacher lent you an oboe too. He just keeps getting cooler and cooler. Now, I know your mom and your dad aren't musicians, but they started you out and they've happily gone on the musical adventure with you and Mr. Liu. But why do you think your parents wanted you to have music in your life?
I think my mom like let me to play piano. And then she told me that she doesn't want me to like be a professional pianist. She just wants me to play it when I'm, in the future, depressed, when I'm having anxiety, there's like some bad things always going to happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
But would I rather cry on the street or I play the piano instead to release all my stress to the piano?
That right there is all the argument you need for why every young person should study an instrument.
Absolutely.
Amen. Well, William, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
William Ju, 16 years old, from right here in downtown LA.
From the Top is also presenting concerts by our young musicians every 2 weeks on Facebook and YouTube. These are intimate and fun music experiences hosted by Peter Dugan and recorded right from our young musicians' homes. Search for From the Top on Facebook or go to youtube.com/from the top.
This is pianist Peter Dugan, and if you're looking for a piece of music to really put your mind at ease, then stop. Don't go anywhere. In fact, sit down, recline even, because we're bringing you That Vibe right now. It's a piano trio with me at the keys, a brilliant From the Top alum named Galia Kastner on the violin, and a 14-year-old cellist named Nathaniel Yu. They're both living in the LA area, and like all the performers on the show today, they're students at the Colburn School. Nathaniel, Galia, I've been thoroughly enjoying this whole process of putting the piece together with both of you. Galia, where are you from originally?
I'm from Chicago, Illinois.
Right, and now you're out here in LA. You were on the show twice when you were a teenager, once as a soloist, and then once with a group called Quartet Lumière.
Yes.
Yes, a phenomenal teenage string quartet that won the famous Fischoff competition. But these days you're out here at the Colburn Conservatory in LA in graduate school, right?
Yes.
And you're studying with...
Mr. Robert Lipset.
Yeah, Robert Lipset, one of the all-time great violin pedagogues. How's it been working with him these years?
Just amazing. We're approaching 6 years of working together, and it's been an absolute pleasure. I've been learning and growing every single year, and I'm so happy to be finishing up my master's degree in 2022.
Well, congratulations. Galia, what do you think of young Nathaniel here? How's he doing?
Huge, bright future. Absolutely spectacular playing. It's been an absolute pleasure, Nathaniel.
Thank you.
Agreed. And Nathaniel, will you introduce the name of this piece?
The piece we'll be playing is Dies Irae, and it's composed by Kenji Bunch.
Yeah, and by the way, Kenji Bunch is a living composer and quite a prolific one at that. He's from the Pacific Northwest originally, and this piece, Dies Irae, does not refer to the Latin day of wrath, Dies Irae, as you might think. Actually, Kenji sort of had a typo moment where he thought he was typing Dies Irae and accidentally typed Dies Irae and realized that Irae, spelled I-R-I-E, is actually a Jamaican way to describe the sort of like sense of well-being and the feeling that all is good. So kind of the opposite of Dies Irae. And yeah, it's just a lot of fun. Let's all take it from the top, shall we?
Thank you.
That was Dies Irae by Kenji Bunch, performed by 14-year-old cellist Nathaniel Yu from San Marino, California, along with violinist and From the Top alum Galia Kastner and yours truly at the piano. Since it's Nathaniel's first time on the program, he and I are going to chat one-on-one, but not before I thank you, Galia, for returning to the program to perform again with us. It's been a delight.
Thank you so much for having me.
Nathaniel, you lent such warmth to the trio just now. What sorts of imagery come to mind when you approach this piece?
Well, the beginning, I felt it really feels like an embrace or a hug. It's just a really warm feeling at the beginning. Like, it's really simple, but it's really beautiful and really warm.
Well, speaking of embraces, hugs, snuggling even, a story of yours comes to mind about your pet named Carl. I want everyone to picture you snuggling with your pet Carl, and now describe Carl for us.
Well, he's a really spiky dragon. Not dragon. He's a really spiky lizard. And he's a bearded dragon. And the reason why they're called bearded dragons is because every time they get angry, they have a beard and it puffs up and it becomes black. And it's honestly terrifying. And he'll put his head into like your cheek, in your neck or something while you're laying down. And it's really fun hanging out with him.
I'm sort of getting like mixed signals here, because on the one hand, you describe this terrifying dragon that lives in your house. And then on the other hand, you're talking about how he nestles into your neck. And does he like curl up next to you and sleep in the bed with you like the way a dog would sometimes?
No, usually we just take him out of his aquarium. And then sometimes we watch movies on like the sofa. And then we just put him down on our tummy and then we just put a blanket over him.
Okay, well, let's leave the debate of whether or not Carl is truly snuggly for now and talk about your family. You know, everyone at From the Top was really touched by the way you describe your family and your home. It just seems like such a happy place.
Yeah.
But can I tease you about one little thing?
Sure.
Okay, so you love your mom and your dad a ton, right?
Yep.
But like a lot of teenagers, you seem to have, like, no clue what they do at work. Is that fair?
Yep.
Like, your dad, what does he do?
He works at Blue Shield, and he's an actuary, but no idea what that is.
No idea what an actuary is?
Nope.
Okay. But didn't he tell you once that you would make a fantastic actuary?
Yep. And I just said, okay. And don't know what that meant.
No idea. But a sweet compliment. And your mom, you're not really clear what goes on there either, right?
She runs the company that her dad used to own until he passed away, sadly, but no idea what she does there either.
And didn't she bring you to work one time?
Yeah, she had me wrap wires, and I don't know what the wires did.
You don't know what they were for?
Nope.
No idea. All right, Nathaniel, it's time for you to go out there, get to know your mom and dad a little bit better, find out what they do, okay?
All right.
And then come back and report back to us.
Gotcha.
All right. I'm sorry. Seriously, though, you're the best, Nathaniel, and I think I'm authorized to tease you because I'm a little bit clueless myself, but being 14 years old, having to quarantine with your family, you know, that's a thing that could be very stressful, but I know you see the positive in it. You really enjoy spending time with your family, and you especially enjoy bonding over food with them, right?
Yeah, for like a whole month, there was this one dumpling we would only eat called wontons, we learned how to make it, so why not? Another thing was my brother, he learned to make Thai tea, and a highlight of our meals would just be having that Thai tea. And then my mom even learned how to add boba to it, and that was just, that was delicious.
One of the great sort of silver linings of the pandemic has been everyone learning a little bit more about cooking together and the way that food can bring a family all together, and sharing in traditions and cultures is just so wonderful. Nathaniel, thank you so much for being with us, for playing in that beautiful trio with us. It was a real treat to play together.
Thank you.
Nathaniel Yu, 14 years old, from San Marino, California. We've got time for one more piece of music, and it's going to be a flashback finale, a blast out of From the Top's past. We're going to hear the Colburn School Honors Quartet as it was way back in 2007. They were violinists Rachel Sandman and Rieho Yu, violist Jocelyn Pan, and on cello Andrew Hayhurst. This is their thrilling teenage performance of the final movement of the String Quartet in F Major by Maurice Ravel. Before that begins, though, I want to thank all the young performers we've met today for sharing their music, but also for sharing their humanity. And to you, listening in the kitchen or driving around town, or in the home office digging through a mountain of paper, thanks for joining us. I'm pianist Peter Dugan, and I hope you'll join me next week. And now, the Colburn Honors String Quartet plays Ravel. Thank you.
From the Top is written and produced by Tim Banker, with post-production mastering and editing by senior producer Tom Vagley. Our music director is Megan Swan, and the production manager is Matt Dykeman. David Norville is assistant producer. Sound design and editing by John Escobar. The recording engineers for today's program at the Colburn School are Francesco Perlangeli and Sergei Parvanov. From the Top's executive director is Gretchen Nielsen, and I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. If you'd like to appear on our program, apply online at fromthetop.org. From the Top is supported in part by an award from the National Endowment for the Arts, on the web at arts.gov.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from the Massachusetts Cultural Council, a state agency connecting young people with the arts in schools and in their communities. Learn more at massculturalcouncil.org. From the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the estate of Joan Kroc, whose bequest serves as an enduring investment in the future of public radio. And from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. You know, while From the Top is distributed by NPR, it isn't owned by NPR. It's an independent nonprofit, and so we have to do our own fundraising to make it happen. Please consider making a donation to our ongoing entertainment and education programs at fromthetop.org.